Do you need to live comfortably in the great state of Indiana? Well, that is subjective, but the people at MIT say they've got it figured out for you. It is 9:35 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So they actually define the word comfortable, which is interesting because that is typically a subjective term. But they say if you define it as having a monthly income needed to cover the 50-30-20 budget, which means 50% of your earnings go to necessities like housing and utility costs, 30% go to your discretionary spending, and then 20% goes to savings and investments, they have the number of what you need to live comfortable here in Indiana.
All right, let's do this with a disclaimer, too. I would bet a sizable portion of the populace goes nowhere near saving 20% of their paycheck every month.
Well, not now. Currently. I would say no.
I would imagine that's a minute amount of, while this is, and this is certainly a good, I think they're being fair. I'm not saying they're being unfair. I think this is a good way to kind of go about it. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine the average person saves nowhere near 20% of their paycheck. All right. So the number to me for Indiana was staggering. I would not have thought it would have been this high. However, what you want to just roll through the top five?
Sure.
Before we get to Indiana, because that, like I said, that Indiana number, if you would have asked me what the number for Indiana was, I would have said probably 75% of what the ultimate number was.
Yeah, I was surprised at how high it was as well,
because I don't think the average person I know the average person's not making anywhere near what the final number is. But let's roll through. You want to go through the kind of top five?
These top five cities they have listed?
Because
sure.
It's the top five states.
You
top
would
five
expect
states.
Them.
Yeah, these are the...
These aren't surprising to me at all, but they say to live in Massachusetts, you need $116,000.
And that's number one.
Yeah, number one. Hawaii is $113,000. California, also $113,000. New York, $111,000. And Washington, $106,000. I'm assuming they mean Washington State, $106,000 to live comfortably.
Yes, not Washington, D.C. All right, so it's Massachusetts, Hawaii, California, New York, Washington. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts, number one, at $116,022. Indiana comes in, Casey, at $85,030.
Yes.
$85,030.
So based on these findings, Caitlin Clark, who will be the newest resident of Indiana, is not going to be living comfortably. Because
yes, that's
they
right.
released that, what, her contract for her rookie year will be something like $78,000?
Right, that's correct.
Yeah. So even superstar Caitlin Clark, just based on, you know, WNBA salary, cannot live comfortably here in Indiana. And
okay, so let's put this in perspective that according to the U.S. Census, the most recent one, mm-hmm. the median this is household income, not even individual income.
Right. This is for a single person.
Right. So that
to
was
live comfortably.
Yes. The median household income mm-hmm. in Indiana is $67,173.
That's with two people working or the whole house working.
So let's bring all of this full circle, because it can come back to a very valuable lesson about what we talk about every single day. When we talk about the crushing impact property taxes is having on a regular person, when you realize what a study like this shows, that the median household income isn't even reaching in Indiana, nor really even close to what an average individual would need in order to live comfortably, and then you realize that every single year the government is taking more from you on something you're not bringing in any income for. You want to talk about just a train derailing towards crisis point?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we spend so much time on that topic on this show, because people are already getting crushed. People are, the average person is not even making half of what this study is saying they should need in order to live a comfortable existence.
To live comfortably. Yeah. Now, this is for single people. If you're on your own, which can be in some cases more expensive. Obviously, you don't have somebody to split the cost with.
Right.
And this is known as singles tax. They say housing is more expensive, groceries are more expensive, travel, transportation, everything. The groceries, because many times you can't buy the single serving food.
Sure.
And then it'll go bad. So there's a lot of waste there.
But you think about what comes with often living with another person. Like if you're married, obviously, mm-hmm. then oftentimes you're injecting kids into the equation. I don't know if you're aware, Casey, kids are pretty expensive. So how about the kid tax?
Welcome to the party,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, right. I mean, so yeah, there's a singles tax. Mm-hmm. There's also a kid tax. And I'll tell you, having paid both the singles tax and the kid tax, way more expensive.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Now we talk a lot about property taxes, how that is crushing everybody. And now we have to acknowledge that there's another stealth inflation driver. And you know, you're probably, your auto insurance has gone up, but now people are complaining about the homeowner's insurance, which is going up. It has increased in most cases 20% over the past 2 years.
Yep. And so what it has basically done is it has risen 50% from an average nationwide of $1,272 in 2019 to now $1,905 mm-hmm. in 2023. And so you think about, like, again, all of these things go into the price of your home, what you pay for your home each month. So you are basically, if you're lucky, because nobody wants to actually have to use their homeowner's insurance. I mean, there's not a single person out there. Well, there are some people, sometimes for nefarious purposes, but mm-hmm. there are very few people who are out, wake up each day and are like, oh my goodness, I sure hope I get to use my homeowner's insurance today. I hope a tornado hits my house or a hailstorm ruins my roof. You're basically flushing $700 extra in 5 years. We're not talking about 20 years ago. We're not talking about 30 years ago. We're talking 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You're flushing $700 a month, a year down the drain, which you hope you don't use. You hope you don't use that $1,905 a year. Again, unsustainable. But this is because everything is so much more expensive that the insurance companies simply cannot keep up. And I had a long conversation with my insurance guy this past year, and he said many of these insurance companies are still doing things at a loss. People can be mad at the insurance companies all they want. They said many of these insurance companies are still losing money and are simply trying to phase in these increases so that they don't have people just completely opt out of their system or their company altogether. And in some cases, some of these major insurance companies are still taking $1 billion plus annual losses. So get ready, Val. You think it's bad now. It's mm-hmm. only going to continue to go up.
Well, and you've got the high mortgage rates right now. And of course, the Fed just said that there won't be cuts. We're looking at somewhere around 7% for the 30-year mortgage. You've got record home prices. And now you've got the property taxes. And if that's not enough for you, let's tag on some inflating insurance rates as well. I mean, it's costing people home ownership.
Yeah.
Who want to get into that market, they can't. They can't simply afford it.
But it's also costing you the renters too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably actually costing the renters more because, as we've talked about, when there becomes the inability to get into a home,
they're not building equity either.
You're right. And when you have an inability to get into a home, you then empower the landlords mm-hmm. even more. And they can basically charge you whatever they want to charge you because where are you going to go? And then it becomes this spiral, like we talked about, of how so many older people are living with their parents once again. Now, some people do that because it's, you know, they take care of a loved one or it creates a more stable environment for an older loved one. And I'm not saying this in any way to judge people. What I'm saying is the reality financially is that for more people, simply living on their own is becoming unaffordable.
It's so interesting. The dude and I were having a conversation last night talking about future, what's going on. You know, our daughter's set to graduate. She had texted us yesterday and mentioned that she had done her final presentation.
Oh, how exciting.
And we were, you know, yay, we're so proud of you. Congratulations, as she's nearing graduation at Purdue.
Yeah.
And Jim had made a comment, something like, yep, and then, you know, it's going to take a year or two to get her up and on her own. And I said, and then what? What does that mean? You are not living in reality. There's a new world now. It's not like when, you know, your parents had you, where you would go and get a career and then get married and get a house and, you know, have kids. And then when that kid turns 18, they move out and they start the cycle all over again. It's not like that anymore. We just talked about how expensive it is to live in a home.
I do wonder, and this is probably the best for Kevin, because Kevin is the single person here, and the Kev is the guy without kids here. Kev, you have been trying to, you work, obviously, you go to work each day, you contribute to society, but even you, I think, have found the past 4 or 5 years trying to finagle through this society and life and inflation. I know you've lived with a variety of different people in different circumstances. It's a little difficult.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
And it's not like Kev is some schlub who's, you know, simply spending his days, you know, bumming cigarettes outside a grocery store. The guy goes to work. But it's like, I don't know how a young person would live on their own anymore. Like, I mean, you could do it with roommates or whatever.
Right.
But I'm saying I always lived alone. I never had a roommate other than someone I was having interpersonal relations with. I mean, I never had like a college friend that we rented a house together. Because I liked privacy. I liked my, you know.
It's almost a necessity now.
Yeah, I don't know
how.
I don't know, unless you're some Wall Street professional or something, how a young person would live on their own. That's pathetic.